We will move on to the fifth case for this morning, Lubenhusen against Walmart Stores. Mr. Kendall.
Your Honor, Ms. Zeller, may it please the Court. This is an appeal from a summary judgment determination by a district trial court in which the trial court held that there wasn't sufficient evidence for a jury to consider whether or not there was retaliation by Walmart against an employee, Gretchen Lubenhusen. The evidence shows, we believe, that there was more than enough evidence from which a jury could reasonably conclude that Ms. Lubenhusen was retaliatorily discharged in June 15th of 2001, within 40 days of filing and faxing to Bentonville a charge of discrimination against Walmart for retaliation and discrimination, was fired on June 15th within 30 days of writing the director of human relations, was fired within 15 and 20 days, respectively, of telephone calls to the regional manager about how she was treated, and that the evidence that I think tips this is that the store manager, Ms. Horney, testified in her deposition under oath that she didn't even know that Ms. Lubenhusen had filed a charge of discrimination with the EEOC until late August, 90 days after she was terminated, or September of 2001. However, we were able to produce an affidavit from a 30-year employee of Walmart who said that prior to her making the decision to terminate Lubenhusen, on June 4th, right after the EEOC charge is filed and the phone calls are made, she approaches her and asks her to sign an affidavit against Ms. Lubenhusen and tells her expressly that she needs it for the legal department of Walmart because she says to Ms. Sellers, Lubenhusen has filed charges of discrimination against Walmart and we need this. Not only did she say that then, but she was gathering other affidavits from other witnesses contemporaneous with that. We think that this is not just a convincing mosaic, but almost a line drawn. The only thing Walmart didn't do is say, Ms. Lubenhusen, we're firing you for this pretextual reason and because we're upset because of your repeated complaints about discrimination.
Well, maybe we need to go look at a few other aspects of this case, because it does seem that Ms. Lubenhusen's problems begin in March 2000 when she takes her boyfriend along with her, and you focus a lot on whether she had the permission of his supervisor, but reading the Walmart brief, they don't seem to be contesting that she could have him there. It's the fact that they get the hotel room in Bloomington, and she asks Walmart to pay for it that seems to trigger at least the problems with that event. And she gets the decision-making day, and they keep her on at that point. And then there's the problem a little bit later with the comparison of the records of the company calling card and the travel expense records, to which you really make a procedural response. You say, well, she didn't know what they were looking at, but you don't really answer all of the days where it does seem that she says that she was in a certain store and she was really calling from either her home or her friend's home. In other words, I mean, if Walmart has articulated a reason for taking the steps that it did, regardless of any complaints she was making, letters, charges, then Walmart can prevail.
Those were not the reasons they terminated her. But
they're the reasons, there's the downslide, yes, if you will, that occurs in her career at Walmart. And it seems to me it begins with her request to pay for the hotel room in Bloomington. And then she keeps getting demoted and she keeps getting less and less favorable jobs. And she's complaining at the same time, but Walmart is creating a file showing that they're not happy with her work.
I'll try to deal with both aspects of that. First of all, I think the problem actually begins a little bit earlier, back in March. And in March, what happened was her supervisor, Hyatt, gave her a meets expectation or satisfactory review just after she had been awarded the best district manager for loss prevention in a 12-district region that included four states. And in the presence of Hyatt's supervisor, she brings it up and questions the review, and he gets very angry and very upset and is abusive. That is followed 6 weeks later by calling her in on the trip to Bloomington with Llewellyn. The record shows that she tried to get somebody else. She tried to get the store manager.
Yeah, see, you're not really confronting, I think, what Walmart is upset about. I don't see them as complaining about the fact that he is the individual who goes to investigate this problem in the store in Bloomington. I think they feel like she saw the opportunity, you know, to have a night out with her boyfriend, and they didn't want to be underwriting it.
But I think the record shows she didn't have a night out.
They didn't have two different... I mean, well, they did. You know, look, I'm not running somebody else's life morally, but if Walmart doesn't want to be in that situation, surely there's nothing in the anti-discrimination laws that says Walmart has to be there.
Well, maybe this... I'm not quite... comprehending the question, but I think the fact that...
I'm saying, I don't see why if Walmart's complaining that they're asked to pay for one hotel room for the two of them, that's the same thing as complaining about the fact that he's the individual she brings along. They could be perfectly satisfied that he got the right kind of permission from his superior and nonetheless think that there's something inappropriate in the overall picture.
Yes, maybe. And again, I think that's a question for the jury. It takes two to tango, and the evidence is that the supervisor who said it was okay for him to go along with her and stay overnight, and the guy who did stay overnight in the hotel room instead of turning in his own shit, nothing happened to them. I think Walmart says...
But he didn't ask for reimbursement. I mean, all I'm saying is Walmart has stated this as the reason why it treats them differently. And in this back and forth of this analysis, you have to say, what's the case that she's put forward, but what is Walmart's reason? And it's certainly a non-discriminatory reason. It's a reason that has nothing to do with filing of complaints. It's a reason that has nothing to do with one's status in any protected group. It's just a reason. We may or may not think it's a wise corporate policy, but there's nothing wrong with it as a reason.
But that would only mean, I would think, that if that were true, then the argument is they did nothing wrong in reprimanding her for the Llewellyn incident, and they did nothing wrong in August for demoting her to in-store manager. It doesn't begin to touch what happened from August until she's terminated, especially the last 40 days in which the store manager arguably perjures herself about whether or not they had any knowledge when her store is faxing statements back and forth to the legal department. Just briefly on...
You're certainly free to say something, but if you want to save rebuttal time, you might want to...
I'll save rebuttal time. I'm sure I'll need it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Zeller.
May it please the court, my name is Susan Zeller, and I'm appearing on behalf of Walmart Stores, Inc. Walmart requests that this court affirm the district court's grant of summary judgment on Leba Husen's claims of retaliation.
Maybe you could start where Mr. Kendall was leaving off with this statement by Sellers, which does certainly seem to undermine what Ms. Horney had to say about what she was really doing.
Your Honor, in relation to that statement, Ms. Horney has never disputed that she was aware that Ms. Leba Husen had engaged in protected activity prior to the decision to terminate her. Ms. Leba Husen, it's undisputed by the record, engaged in protected activity first on March 16, 2001, when she turned in a one-page written statement with her March 15, 2001 performance evaluation. And in that statement, she complained of discrimination and retaliation. Thereafter, Ms. Horney did work with the legal department to gather statements. both prior to and after Ms. Leibhausen's charge of discrimination was filed. So, yes, we do not dispute, nor did Ms. Horney dispute, during her deposition, which occurred approximately 2 years after Ms. Leibhausen had been terminated, that she gathered statements for the legal department.
So are we focusing then on what the meaning of the word charges is? You know, I get sort of flashbacks to what does it mean. But Ms. Horney says, I didn't know about the EEOC filing until after the termination. And the Sellers affidavit, read in a certain way, could make one conclude, well, as a matter of fact, she did know about the EEOC charges, but you're suggesting, well, maybe it wasn't the EEOC charges, it was the internal company complaint or something else. I don't know.
That is correct. Ms. Horney testified that, yes, she was aware that she had made complaints of discrimination. She had been contacted by the legal department, and she had been asked to gather statements. She had not received a copy of the EEOC charge, nor had her supervisor, Kevin Nolan. In all of the documents that have been produced and reviewed in this case, there's no evidence that that EEOC charge was ever received by the Jasper store or by Ms. Horney or Mr. Nolan, which would be consistent with Walmart's corporate practices. So when Ms. Horney had a discussion with an employee and said that Ms. Leibhausen had filed charges against Walmart, she didn't specify whether those charges were specifically EEOC charges or general charges or claims of discrimination or retaliation.
Are you saying that there's evidence in this record that Walmart's office in Arkansas doesn't tell a store like the Jasper store that EEOC charges? I mean, surely even just to retain records, there's no phone call or anything to a person like Ms. Horney that EEOC charges have been filed by this person, you know, save your records or anything?
There is nothing in the record that indicates the corporate department informed Ms. Horney that an EEOC charge had been filed. They did request her assistance in gathering statements relating to alleged discrimination and retaliation, but there's no evidence that they had informed her of the actual EEOC charge filing.
And no evidence of general policy. I'm just a little surprised that there would be no policy. I can see that you might not forward the actual physical, you know, photocopy of the charge, but
right.
In terms of passing information along, that's a different issue.
I can tell you, although it was not addressed in the record, so there's no specific testimony about it, that the general practices, they are informed of allegations of discrimination or retaliation, but the charge is not forwarded. Therefore, it's certainly believable that a layperson such as Ms. Horney or Mr. Nolan, who is not an attorney, when they're informed there are charges filed by an individual, they don't necessarily know whether that's an EEOC charge or an attorney letter that came in, which Ms. Leibhausen's attorney had sent letters to the corporate office as well. So what I'm saying is this investigation started before there was even an EEOC charge filed. They were already investigating those same allegations that Ms. Leibhausen had raised in her charge. So it's not that she wasn't aware of the fact that Ms. Leibhausen had alleged discrimination or retaliation, and she didn't deny that in her deposition, as you can see from the position we've taken in the briefs. We don't deny that she was aware of the protected activity at the time of the termination. However, this was a continuing process that was going on both before and after Ms. Leibhausen filed the charge of discrimination. The same allegations raised in the charge of discrimination had already been raised by Ms. Leibhausen and were already being investigated by Ms. Horney, both before and after the filing of the charge.
Can you tell me about this? I think it's kind of interesting, this whole, I guess, anti-fraternization policy of Walmart.
Yes, Judge.
Walmart. One employee can't. Walmart discouraging love in the workplace or something?
Only with your subordinates, Your Honor. The anti-fraternization policy does prohibit managers from being in a supervisory relationship with employees and taking actions such as sharing a hotel room with them. Ms. Leibhausen went to the store that evening with the purpose of conducting an investigation. The record will reflect the investigation didn't get done, the witness didn't get interviewed.
So that has nothing to do with the fact that she had Walmart pay the bill for the hotel room. That didn't enter into anything here.
That didn't help, Your Honor. I would say that was also a factor as well, that she was actually asking Walmart to pay for that. She was violating company policy, and then she was submitting a bill for a hotel room that she was having her subordinate pay for with. I would say, more than anything, that's the way the information, you know, came to light, more than it wasn't just they were asked to pay for it. It was the fact that she was in a supervisory role with this individual and sharing a hotel room with him, and that's something that corporate policy does not permit there.
And in fact, everything would have been fine then if she, because it does appear that she got the permission of the man who was his supervisor to bring him along for this investigation. If they had just, you know, anteed up for the hotel room, everything would have been fine?
Well, it's clear that she obtained permission from the man who was his supervisor to take him along to the investigation based on the record that's before us. It's also clear that she didn't obtain permission from his supervisor to share a hotel room with him that evening and to submit the expense. And it's also clear that she didn't obtain permission from her supervisor. In other words, the individual she obtained the permission from was her peer. He said, yes, you can take my guy and take him with you and conduct an investigation. He didn't say, yes, you can share a hotel room with him, and he didn't represent that their supervisor would approve of that conduct. And when their supervisor did learn of that conduct, the sharing of the hotel room and the somewhat botched investigation, it didn't appear like a lot of work got done that evening to her supervisor as well. That's when she received the decision-making day coaching for that. Now, it has been raised, and I should briefly address the fact that the individual who she stayed in the hotel room with, Mr. Llewellyn, was not disciplined for that incident. Mr. Llewellyn was not a managerial employee, and he didn't submit an expense report for a hotel room to be reimbursed by Walmart. So at that point, Ms. Liebehusen could have been disciplined much more severely than she was, but instead she was given what they refer to as the decision-making day coaching, which is a paid one-day suspension in which you are to evaluate your actions and come up with a plan of action in order to prohibit that conduct from ever happening again. So in an incident where she could have been terminated, she was, in fact, just reprimanded and given the suspension.
If she had gone on this trip with an employee from Walgreens and submitted a bill to Walmart, I don't see how Walmart would be able to object to that. Why they would? I mean, the hotel room is going to cost the same whether she's with her boyfriend or not.
Well, I don't know what they would have done if she went to and stayed in the hotel room with somebody from Walgreens. There's nothing in the record about that, but a crucial factor was the fact that she was in a supervisory relationship with Mr. Llewellyn and had brought him along.
So
and
the important
stayed in
thing is not the seeking reimbursement from Walmart for a hotel room. It's that she was sharing the hotel room with an employee that under this policy she was not supposed to get romantically involved with.
I think that's the crucial element, yes, I do. I don't think it helped that she asked the company to pay for that as well. But, yes, they were going to pay for one hotel room at least either way. You're exactly right. The problem was the conduct in which she engaged in staying in the hotel room with a subordinate, which violated their company policy. Now, I do know Ms. Liebehusen alleges that there is a grand scheme of conspiracy that ends with her retaliation, with her termination on June 15th of 2001. I see that I'm out of time. If Your Honors have any questions about the circumstances surrounding that termination, I'll be happy to address it.
I think we will rely on your brief, and thank you very much for your argument.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Kendall, you have a few minutes. 2 minutes.
Don't think I'm rude if I take my wristwatch off here. He was not her subordinate. She was no longer in a supervisory capacity over this guy when he went with her. He happened to be the loss prevention guy in the Boonville store where she was working that day with Burns. She first asked the store manager in Bloomington if he'd stick around because they have to have a same-sex witness in on the interview.
I don't understand why all of this is even important.
Yeah, you're right.
What if Walmart discovered that early on that she had shared a hotel room on and in violation of this policy and fired her? That wouldn't necessarily be sex discrimination, would it?
No, and I wouldn't be standing here today, and it probably isn't crucial. And I probably digress out of too much law school and debater's instinct. I think that the fact that after she started clearly writing and complaining about discrimination and calling it that, starting around March when they tell her, Harney tells her, I don't like you, you're a troublemaker, you hate people here, why don't you quit? And she says, I'm not treating fairly. She's already written the Gabbardi a letter that same day complaining about these things, and then she files the EEOC charge. And maybe we wouldn't even be here if it weren't for the fact that Horney does represent that she doesn't think. The whole brief of the Walmart is based around the idea there hasn't been any protected activity. There hasn't been any real complaints that anybody could figure out. In fact, what pushed it over the edge was, and the evidence is, that they make up stories. Not only does Horney say, I didn't ask her, and what the affidavit actually says is she needs it immediately, she needs it for the legal department in Bentonville, and she's filed charges against Walmart. Now, this isn't a hearing about whether or not they're guilty or not. This is a hearing about whether a jury could reasonably conclude from this that they retaliated against her. The whole RIF idea surfaces after all of these complaints and after her phone call to Gabbardi about the EEOC within 5 days, and the store manager, Horney, goes ahead and doesn't know any statistical data to support it, knows of no policy to link the two, and if I might digress, as opposing counsel did with something's not in the record, she was promoted to human relations and shipped to Bentonville after this. So they don't just view her as a layperson who might not be able to figure out what was going on. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel.